you pass those out? We're doing it now? All right. We pass out offering envelopes not so you can leave them blank. We get a lot of those blank ones. No, we want you to fill them out. Number one, it gives you a recorded record that we record so that you can use it to take it off of your taxes. I think that's a very important thing because I feel like the government gets enough of your money that you ought to get some of it back by giving and sowing seeds into good causes like God Almighty. Amen? But also, we teach people here that, and I don't, for the new people that haven't ever heard me say this, I do not take a salary at this church. We only operate by love offering. And a lot of people tithe to us. I always felt it weird. All my pastor friends that they're like, "You don't take a salary?" I said, "No, I don't. I just trust God." And God always puts it on the hearts of people to give to us. I believe we're good ground. Amen. We live right. And when you give to a church, the church ought to be doing something because that's the ground you're giving in. So that it can, and it's to God, of course, but we just trust God. And it's amazing that so many of them don't understand that, you know, they'll say, "Yeah, but, you know, the tithe belongs to the local church." Hallelujah. And I always wondered, are you saying that if the Lord directs you to give it to a minister, I mean, you don't want to give it. I remember one time a guy won a team roping, and he gave his tithe to the producer of the team roping. I was like, no, you don't do that. You don't give it to someone that's not a believer. Well, I won it at his team roping, so I wanted to bless him. Well, no, not the tithe. That belongs to the Lord. But then I always wondered, why can't you give it to Joyce Myers or someone that you love? As long as it's led by the Spirit of God. Well, the reason that most pastors, they get a little nervous because they're thinking, uh-oh, that might cut down on the tithes and offerings that come to tend to the church needs, like paying our employees and paying the light bill and whatever else. The insurance, wow. The insurance we pay on this property is amazing. I'm not worried about that a bit. I just figure God's the provider. And he'll provide. And I don't have to take a salary. I mean, my elders of this church, when I started 13, 14 years ago, thought I was crazy when I said I'm not going to take a salary. If people want to give to us, they can. If I make them mad, then they can withhold that tithe from me. I always felt it was weird when the tithe just belongs to the local church, because what pays the pastor usually? The tithe. They gather in the tithe, and it pays your pastor usually. Well, we don't operate that way here except for our employees, Howdy and AJ and some of those. We pay them out of the tithes and offerings. But what we want you to learn is how to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Say, "God, where do you want this tithe to go?" And that's what we want you to start learning, to be led by His Spirit, not just financially. That's just what we're talking about right now. But in every area of your life. Say, "God, where does my kids need to go to school to, you know, be able to be taught correctly and in those kind of things?" And I want you to be led by the Spirit in every area, including finances. Amen? So with that gift that you're going to give to the Lord, in this bucket, in that bucket, I want you to do it by faith. I want you to not give just because that's 10% of what I'm supposed to give. No, I want you to give because it's in honor of God, in Jesus' name. So come give with a big old shout of praise. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Did we declare, is the youth stay in or go out, AJ? They stay in? It's the second. On the second Sunday, our youth always stays in, but we're going to dismiss our kids here in just a second. Praise the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. Are you singing?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know it. No one told me. Come on. Kick it off.
Hello. Hey, good morning. How y'all doing today? It's a blessing to be with you. Some of you know, some of you may not know that September was a really rough month for me. I was down, I had a bad intestinal problem, diverticulitis and some other things, and it had me down the whole month. And I lost some weight, and it's not the best way to lose weight, believe me. I lost a lot of strength in my legs and in other parts of my body, and I began to lose heart. It was tough. I couldn't get away from the house. I couldn't hardly go outside. Couldn't come to church. 2 weeks ago today, I got up that morning, and I felt a renewed strength. I felt a desire, and a renewed desire to get up and go to church, and I came to church. And folks, it's all because he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. I was shackled by a heavy burden, crushed beneath guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met the blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Sing it with me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. And he can do it for you too.
Amen. Good job, my brother. God bless you, buddy. Proud of you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Will, thank you for that. Really appreciate that. Well, with a big round of applause, Kids Church dismissed out the back end. Amen. Come on, y'all. Love you, kiddos. See ya.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. I just said thank you. That's all right. You heard me in the spirit, didn't you? That's true. Yeah. How many of you brought a Bible this morning? Let me see all the Bibles. Hold them up. Let me see. All right, put them down. Now, if you don't have a Bible, stand up. No, I'm kidding. No. I will never come to this church again. I want you to get used to bringing your Bible. That word is your source of everything. We're going to be talking about this morning foundation. I want to welcome everybody that's watching by internet live. It's an honor to have you, and I mean it. I want you as well to grab your Bible, and I want you to, it's going to be a little different today. I'm going to do a little illustration. Normally I don't do illustrations, but I felt like this is a great one inspired by my sister-in-law, Tracy, my middle brother's wife, did a great illustration at a high school rodeo, and it touched me. Because, see, it was talking about foundation. I want to talk to you this morning about foundation. Because for a Christian, if you're born again and Jesus is your Lord, then our foundation is the Word of God. Matter of fact, it's Jesus, because He is the Word. Remember, the Word says that Jesus is flesh, dwells among us, even though He is fully God as well. But He became flesh just for you and I. He experiences or did experience everything that you and I go through, sometimes daily. And thank God about our Savior is He overcame everything. He's the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. And then that's our testimony. Amen. Foundation is a very important thing to me, because as you come into this building, most people don't come in saying, "Wow, look at the foundation of this church." Because they're looking at the building. They're looking at the ceiling and how the building was decorated and all the work. Matter of fact, a lot of people that's in this church this morning was the ones that were climbing on the top of these trusses when we was putting them together without safety harnesses. Thank God OSHA wasn't here. I mean, a lot of us is the ones that put up these walls. I remember all the insulation up there, I was there. I had my hands on it. All the metal on the top, I was there. When they started this foundation, which was the very first thing that they did in this church, it was massive. I mean, they had to get huge trucks to shoot that concrete from a long distance. And I can remember the ditches, our concrete people in here, the ditches that they dug on the outside. The ditches were way deep, and these middle ditches are way deep. But not just that, but we did something even greater than just the ditches of this foundation. Is the people of this church back, 10 plus years ago, I had them bring their Bibles, and I wanted to put in the trenches of this church. Matter of fact, right under me, right here, is one of my very first Bibles, and I placed it right where I knew this pulpit would be, so that we are not just standing on a concreted foundation, but man, we are standing all through this place, on every corner and all through the middle, on the foundation of God, because there's Bibles placed under this foundation everywhere. I bet we had 80 to 100 Bibles that people brought and we put under the foundation. Because the foundation for a Christian is very, very important. I looked up foundation in the Greek, and it's simple because it's understandable. It means a foundation set in stone that is strong, that is stable, and that is enduring. I want you to turn your Bibles real fast to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to read to you just a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 10 that says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For a other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I begin to look at a few things in the Word of God, because when you're talking about foundation, it's talking about the first thing, that it has stability. The trusses and the building of this church has a lot of weight. A foundation needs to have some stability to hold up a lot of weight. And I know we're fixing to talk about our spiritual foundation, because there's a lot of things that weigh on people. But if you got a great foundation, which for us Christians is the Word of God, then there's no weight that can cause that foundation to have a lot of cracks in it, see. I noticed that the foundation has to be strong. Strong enough to withstand a lot of pressure, a lot of resistance. And we see that a lot in our lives. I notice also that the foundation then, according to this Greek word, themelos, is that a foundation needs to endure. In other words, it needs to last for a long period of time. You see houses in Florida now, in that town of, you know, Mexico, Beach, how things are just washed away. There's nothing but maybe a foundation there. But a good foundation, man, when you build upon that, it needs to last for a lifetime. I know houses. I went to Carlsbad, New Mexico, and my grandmother's house, my mom's mom, I took a picture of the very same house that she lived in, you know, in the 50s. How it has lasted. And I said, look at that thing. It looks the same. I mean, the garage part, just a little carport, it has been fixed up. But it's everything, even the siding is still the same on this house. You know, a foundation needs to endure some things. It doesn't need to just be built and then bam, the next day is gone. But yet, a lot of times in our Christian walk, our foundation might not be just strong and solid as it needs to be. And so this morning, I want the guys to come and bring out a couple of things. I want to talk about our spiritual foundation. And I know this is probably a very basic message, but I think it's important that our foundation needs to be talked about, because the worst thing that we can do is just put on the helmet of salvation and then have nothing else on, really. And a lot of people do that. They come to my services all across the country. You know, I ministered in Rapid City and in South Dakota, Deadwood. And I see a lot of people raise their hand and give their lives to the Lord Jesus. I mean, and I sometimes wonder, because, you know, I'm watching these people throughout the rodeo year, and I see that they gave their life to the Lord Jesus, so they have that helmet of salvation on, but do they really have their foundation built? Is it just a one-time thing of giving your life to the Lord Jesus and praise God, you're going to go to heaven? Because I'm not going to judge their salvation. I always figured that if they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart the Lord Jesus and that he was raised from the dead, then they're saved, born again. I'm not going to judge their salvation in any way. It's not my job, and it's not yours as well. That's between them and God. If they prayed that prayer of faith, then praise God, I believe they were born again. But Are they building on that foundation, you see? I wanted to show you maybe some things that a foundation can have, because it can have some holes. I mean, when they're building this foundation, it might have a few foundational parts, but is it total, you see? Because you can get the corners there. But I wonder if that's going to really hold someone up. What do y'all think? I'm not going to try it either without some protection. The foundation can have a lot of holes. That's big. Whose was this? A gnat? Need to tighten this thing up a little bit. There we go. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are there some swampy areas in your mindset? I'm talking foundation this morning, because maybe there's a few gaps. Maybe fear has got in to this foundation. And I just wonder if it's going to hold me up, this foundation. Uh-oh. Yeah, but it didn't work. Because there were holes. There were gaps. There were things that is in people's foundation that is not solid. A lot of times we can cause cracks to be in them because we haven't truly got the foundation proper. I mean, what if we would have left gaps and holes in this foundation and not had concrete throughout it? Then obviously you know what would happen. The building would not stand. Come and, we'll just do that. How about that? But what if you got a really good foundation? I mean, what if you took some time in your spiritual life to really get your foundation solid, you see? I mean, like the very first part of someone's foundation is righteousness. In other words, righteousness is just doing what's right. You understand that, right? I mean, the Bible says when you gave your life to Jesus, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we need to make sure that we're doing things right, because we are, again, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I looked up a scripture found in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 25 that says, as the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. You see, there's something about doing what's right. I mean, because we need to operate with integrity as Christians, because they are watching us, you see. How are we acting out there? I know we get in here and praise God, we're all in one accord. We're worshiping and serving the Lord Jesus, but I want to be who I am here out there. when they look at me, I don't want them to wonder who I am. The Bible says that you and I are peculiar. We're set apart. We are made in the image of God Almighty, in His likeness, see. And if we are made righteous, I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. I'm just saying that we don't have to use that one scripture that we all fall short of the glory of God and use that in a negative way. You know, we just all sin, brother. It's just part of life. It's the nature. No, it isn't. Because Jesus Christ died so that you can be made righteous, praise God. Someone say something like, amen, I agree, or whatever. Righteousness is very important in your foundation. Because, man, you let a little bit of sin in. You let the devil tell you, you know, you're not worthy, brother. Sister, you know, you've done too much bad in your life. That the enemy tries to tell us that it begins to affect really who we are. But yet, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See? Amen. The second part of the foundation of God, which is the Word of God, is love. That's a hard thing for a lot of cowboy people because cowboys tend to, because of the nature of the enemy, they don't understand love. And so they fight it. Matter of fact, I had an uncle that was a minister. And he never one time ever told his wife that he loved her. And that marriage, as y'all probably understand, lasted 30 years and then ended. And she said, man, you never showed love. You never said it. And I know we're talking about Eros love, a human kind of love. But still, love is a very important foundation in a Christian's life because love is what casts out all fear, you see. Amen. I wrote a scripture down that talks about love in Ephesians chapter 3 and 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. I mean, love, man, it's a really, really important foundation in a Christian's life, see. Man, the Bible talks about letting brotherly love continue. I remember one time that I was driving from a service in Odessa, Texas. I just saw, you know, a decent crowd. No one got saved. I was a little dejected. I was like, man, Lord, I drove all the way from Lubbock to do this service on a Monday night. Back then, we were doing a service Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We were preaching 7 days of the week. Give out tired. Here we are by myself driving from Odessa, and I went to the little shortcut to Midland. And I was going to hang a left and head to La Mesa and then on to Lubbock. That's how I went this time. Because we lived on the southeast side of Lubbock. So it's easier to go through La Mesa and go that way instead of Brownfield. And I stopped at this light because I had to exit off to get to the La Mesa Highway. And I stopped at the light and then I turned and went under the overpass, and you know there's a light right there, so I stopped at the light and I noticed to my right an elderly lady standing on the side of the road. Now keep in mind, I was just at a service where there was, in my opinion, no fruit, no one got saved. It was kind of a harder college crowd that day. I'm kind of ticked off, you know, because I want to see fruit. I should be joyful, but I mean, and I was kind of, but I was just like, man, come on, Lord. What? am I supposed to be going and it's 10:30 at night, dark, and here is an older lady. I'm talking dressed nice, standing on the side of the road doing this to me. And I thought, oh, I ain't picking up her. I ain't no way. And I went, and then the Spirit of God said, nope, you go back there and get her. And I was already probably, 20, 30 yards past the light, and I stopped and I backed up. And the dad came out in me. Because the word says that don't let brotherly love continue, for by doing so you might be entertaining angels. And here I backed up, and the dad came out in me. I rolled down my window and I said, what in the world are you doing out here at 10:30 at night? That's exactly what happened right there. She said, well, I need a ride to Lubbock. And I said, get in. And she had this big bag. And the enemy started working on my mind with that big bag because I knew there would be a machine gun coming out. I mean, I watched that bag. And I could hardly drive from watching that bag. What'd you say? She said, I said, ma'am, what are you doing on the side of the road? What are you doing? What? And I'm talking, she had rings on every finger. She was dressed very nicely. And I'm starting to remember this scripture. I might be entertaining an angel, but yet I'm still watching that bag. I don't know if there's a hand grenade in there, just a pistol, a bat. It was a big bag. I said, what's that bag for? She grabs it. I said, no, ma'am, keep it in the floorboard. And the devil started telling me some things about, man, you're crazy. Because I'm talking, this is the time when you don't pick up hitchhikers anymore. It's not like the old days. You don't know. But this is an older lady dressed very nicely. I said, ma'am, what is going on? What are you doing out here this late? She said, well, my husband has been beating me, and I need to go. I need to get away from him. And I talked to her all the way to Lubbock, and she said, I knew you'd pick me up. I said, you did? She said, yeah, the Lord told me you'd pick me up. She didn't even know I was a preacher. I said, well, ma'am, I'm a pastor. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She said, I know. And then all of a sudden, she grabs this bag, and I'm thinking, here we go. I'm fixing a... Have y'all ever seen that show, Clint Eastwood, Right Turn Clyde? I was fixing to hit that girl. I don't care. I can drop her out. No one would even know that I picked her up. You touch that bag. Gee, she could have been an angel. But here's the only problem. If she was, she was a smoking angel because she asked me if she could have a cigarette. I said, this ain't an angel. I said, Lord, if this is an angel, it's a crazy angel. Come to find out, she was in a little nursing home. They were being very abusive to her. And she had been alienated with her kids. And I led her to the Lord Jesus. She was not an angel. But see, love. What if I didn't have that love to even pick her up? See, that's a very important foundation that we need to live by. The third thing that I want to show you is truth. You need to understand that John 8:32 says the truth shall set you free. Your foundation of truth is literally staking your eternity because it's the truth of God. You're staking your eternity on God's truth. So his truth in this word of God, and you believe in it from Revelations all the way back to Genesis, is very important. Just the truth of the word of God, see. I know a lot of people that don't believe everything in that Bible. Matter of fact, I did a service just down the road not very long ago. Most of you have heard this story, but it's the truth. Where they asked me to come and they had been through about 20 preachers, 20 pastors. They didn't like something that he preached. They'd kick him out and get someone else. So they asked me to come and minister to this group. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to do here? He said, I want you to get a cowboy Bible. And I want you to do what I tell you to do. So I grabs this cowboy Bible. And I said, well, it's an honor to be here this morning, but I understand that some of you don't believe all this Bible. And they start going, I mean, you know how it is, like, what'd you say? What? I will kick you out as well. I said, but wait, before you get upset, I was asked to come here. Do you really believe this whole Bible? Because this whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the truth. And if you believe it, it will set you free. But I understand that some of you don't believe in forgiveness. It's not a problem, though. Because if you don't believe in forgiveness, I'll just rip some of that out of the Bible. And I did. I took a few pages, and they were like, oh, he just ripped the holy word of God. And I threw them on the floor. Oh, and I said, some of you don't believe in, you know, that tithing stuff. It's not a problem, though. And I just ripped that part out of the Bible. There's some of you that, you know, you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, you just don't believe in healing. So it's not a problem. We'll just rip that part out of the Bible, and I threw it on the ground. Now, by this time, they're all on the edge of their seats because they're starting to get what I'm talking about. I began to go through several other things, and I said, hey, if you don't believe that, it's not a problem. Let's just take that part out of the Bible. And I threw it on the ground. And when I finished that sermon, all I had was the cover of the Bible, which is a great illustration of us understanding that just because we don't understand something in that Bible does not mean that it is not the truth of the Word of God. Say amen to this. Because our foundation needs to be a solid one on the truth. Amen. The truth of the Word of God. In other words, we don't have to fight among denominations any longer as long as we understand that the Word of God is truth. It's not there to hurt us. It's there to help us, see. Amen. Now, I know you might be going through some stuff in your life this morning. And I know it may be overwhelming to you, but if you would get your mind off of that and put it on the foundation of the truth of the Word of God, that the Bible declares you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath your situation. And when you begin to speak to that mountain, because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, you are wrestling against the spirit of darkness trying to ruin your relationship. I'm getting fired up now, aren't I? And we're trying to get the foundation of truth back in line so that you do not have gaps and ruts and all the things that can cause the foundation to break. See? I'll tell you another part of the foundation that you need to get a hold of is your mouth. Because these cups, they represent a mouth that should be speaking the Word of God in every situation. I don't care if the doctor told you have cancer. I noticed that someone had cancer and they put it on the Facebook, and I saw a video and they declared that they had something happen to their body and found out that they had stage 4 cancer. That is not the time to be defeated in your faith walk. That's the time you get your mouth lined up on your righteousness, on the truth of the Word of God, and get your mouth lined up on the Bible. What does the Bible say about me? Well, the Word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus, You were healed. It didn't say you're going to be. It didn't say I hope it's going to be. It said you are healed, because that's a part of the foundation of understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Your mouth, the Bible says in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, either speaks life or it speaks death. I mean, you've got a right to say, I'm tired of this life. Father, it's time to come home. And you've got that right to do that. But not when you're 40 years old. Is your mouth lined up with the Word of God? Are you speaking God's Word in every situation, or are you speaking what you hear out there in the world? I had a lady in church come to me one time. I actually came to another lady and said, I have a word from God for you, lady. And I'm listening to this. And she began to declare to this lady that she was going to go bankrupt. I'm thinking, wow, God, you're responsible for causing someone to go bankrupt? Because that is a very hurtful thing. I can remember when I was young, living in Odessa, when my dad built oil wells. He's a welder. And he was the one that built the oil well from ground up. And I'll never forget in the 80s when the oil market dropped. I mean, I think it went to $17 a barrel. It was way down there. It shut down everything. And Mom had just bought a tornado car. Anybody remember what a tornado looked like? I mean, you got to have a little gray hair, probably. And I also remember the car dealership coming and getting that tornado because it was repossessed. It was very painful. My mom and dad cried. They was making so much, and then all of a sudden, bam, it was gone. That's not the time you get your mouth out of line with the Word of God. Do you then begin to declare, well, this God stuff don't work. This tithing stuff, I tried it for 6 months, and it don't work. It's because your foundation, man, has some cracks in that area. You're declaring what everybody else says about you instead of what does God say about you. Who do you say I am, says the Lord. You know, the Word of God instructs us all through it. In Proverbs 30 or 10 and 31, the mouth of the just brings forth wisdom. Your mouth, again, either speaks life or it speaks death, but it's a part of the foundation of God. Matter of fact, we know in the epistles, the Bible says, let nothing proceed out of your mouth but that which would edify the listener. When someone says, you know, I'm no good and I can't do it right and I always hit a barrel and I always break the barrier and I always miss and I get those people away from me as fast as I can if they will not submit and control their mouth. I don't want to be around that. I don't want to hear someone saying, well, you know, my cancer came back on me or my sick. No, that is not your cancer. Jesus has already died so that by his beating you can be healed. Amen. All you got to start declaring, no matter what you feel, because we are not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We are not moved by what we taste or touch or even what we smell. You know what we're moved by? As a Christian, the foundation of the Word of God. The mouth needs to speak the Word. See, here's the last one. Our very principle that Christians live by is faith. Faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. Not just faith, but now faith. Because faith can be now. There's sometimes a process of faith. God trying to get all the weeds out of your thinking. He's trying to get all the the bad seed that you've sown into the foundational ground out. You're trying to get that dirt that's grown up on top of the foundation removed before it messes with you and causes your faith to waver. Every one of us was given the same measure of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith is a foundation principle of a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't know if I need to put this hard hat on, because what do you think? You think this is going to hold us? Let's just find out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Because, see, I need faith of the Word of God. I need to know that what I'm fixing to stand on is staking out my eternity. This is not a joke to me. This is not playing around. I understand that my foundation is important, righteousness. I want to know that when I stand up on this thing, then I'm walking in love. I want to know when the weight comes and the winds are going crazy, the resistance of the Word of God that is crazy today, even in America, cannot knock down my foundation, that my belief system of the Word of truth, that nothing can cause my mouth to speak anything other than the Word of God. And when I do, God, I'm quick to say, Father, I take that back, I rebuke that, and I start speaking the Word of God. Because I want to know when I stand on this thing that I've got faith. Is this thing going to really hold me? Amen. Don't move. Because see, I need to know that every part of this foundation can withstand the trials and the tribulations that try to destroy you and I. I want to know that when Jesus declared that I have life and more abundant life, I also understand that the devil comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy my life. I want to know that I can, this foundation, no matter what it does, is going to hold me up in times of sorrow. But I'm telling you, if you stand on it and you start living by it, there's nothing that can cause you to go back to the days of Babylon. It ought to cause us to go straight back to the days of righteousness, truth, the shield of faith. How is your foundation? How's your foundation? I mean, how is it? Is it kind of a little shifty right now? Ooh, Jesus. Or is it solid? I declare in Jesus' name that if you've got some cracks, some gaps, some areas that are kind of got some deterioration in your foundation, that they would be filled up with the Word of God. So that no matter what happens in this world, I don't care if it's a relationship, if it's a marriage, if it's your finances, if it's school, if it's health problems, it doesn't matter. Your foundation is what's going to get you through the shadow of death. That valley that's trying to keep you down. Nah, your foundation is one that we can stand on in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you receive it? Come on. Father, I love you. Thank you that our foundation will never fail. That you are our cornerstone, that those corners that are full of stability. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That in a world where Christianity is being pushed back and pushed under, that Christians would rise up. They would take that key of the kingdom that you gave for us, that's in the palm of your hand. And we would be able to put that key into those foundational doors and begin to unlock them. And if there's sin, which are holes, gaps, swampy things that are in our foundation, we will begin to cause them all to be removed with our mouth, with our faith, with the Word of God. So that our foundation can withstand anything that this world throws against us. Father, we realize that we live in this world, but we are not of this world. So Jesus, thank you for being our rock, our solid foundation. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Is Jesus your Lord? If you stood before God and the Bible is true, and I'm here to tell you, it is. It's been tested over time, and it still continues to come to pass, even with scientists or just people in general trying to disprove it. They can't. You're seeing in America and in the world a dividing time right now. God dividing the sheep and the goats. And you need to be on the right side. You're starting to see pure evil trying to overcome goodness. And that evil has no mercy. You may be experiencing some of that right now. But thank God for Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, I sense the end coming faster than we know. Are you ready? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? And if you stood in front of him, do you know what he'll say? Because you're going to stand in front of God one day. And I'm hoping that Jesus is your Lord, because if he is, then God will declare, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into heaven. Don't let him say, depart from me, because Jesus is not your Lord. So the question this morning, is Jesus your Lord? If he's not, make him your Lord right now in Jesus' name. Just invite him into your life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. And all the people in here that are believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to pray it with you. But if you're here and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I'm asking you to invite Jesus to come into your life. Not this church, not a pastor. No, Jesus. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. Have you ever confessed with your mouth that he's Lord? If not, do it right now. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you're here and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell again, then pray this prayer out loud where your ears can hear it. We're doing it with that foundation mouth that speaks life or death. We're going to speak life. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives. And all the believers in here, they'll also pray it with you. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I'm telling you, never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Invite him in your life right now by praying this prayer. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord. Come into my life. and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I want my foundation to be strong, secure, and stable. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed, the reason I have you bow your head is just in respect of your neighbor. And it's in honor of God as well. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want you to be bold enough right where you're sitting to raise your hand up when I say three. I'm going to just count three. One, two, three. When I say three, I just want you to be bold enough to say, Jesus, thank you for being my Lord. I prayed that prayer and I meant it. And then just put your hand right back down. Would you do that? With every bit of boldness, if you just gave your life to Jesus, get it up when I say three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Okay. All right, look at me. There was not one hand that was raised, which means, hopefully, every single one of you are born again, and Jesus is your Lord. So I want you to go home, and I want you to get your foundation right. Don't let holes be in your foundation. Fill them up with the Word of God in Jesus' name. Did you have a good time this morning? Amen. Thank you, Lord.